Hello, microbe friends. I'm Dr. Justine Dees, and welcome to the Joyful Microbe Podcast. It's the show all about the microbes we encounter in our daily lives. Thank you so much for tuning in. I can't wait to share this show with you. Today, we're diving into a topic that's both creative and educational. It's coloring books, but not just any coloring book. This one brings the fascinating world of bacteria to life in a way that's perfect for all ages. In this episode, we'll explore Colored Bacteria from A to Z, a great educational resource created by two passionate scientists, Drs. Sarah Wedstadt and Noemi Mathy. Whether you're a parent looking to spark your child's interest in science, a teacher in search of engaging materials, or an adult who finds relaxation in coloring, this microbiology-themed coloring book has something for you. We often hear about bacteria only in a negative context, illness and disease, but there's so much more to these tiny organisms. This coloring book portrays a realistic, balanced view of the bacterial world by highlighting the incredible diversity of bacteria's positive and negative roles in our world. So, in this episode, we'll chat about why Sarah and Noemi decided to create the book, the unique A to Z format they chose, and the thoughtful balance they struck between scientific accuracy and artistic creativity. We'll also touch on the challenges of selecting among the vast numbers of bacteria to decide which ones to feature, and how they made complex concepts accessible and engaging. If you're a teacher, parent, or simply curious about the microbial world, you'll also discover ways you can use this coloring book to explore bacteria in a fun and educational way. Plus, we'll discuss the common misconceptions about bacteria that the authors aim to clear up. So, get ready to dive into the colorful world of bacteria. After this episode, I bet you'll feel inspired to grab some colored pencils and start coloring your way through the microcosmos. All right, let's get on to the interview. Hi, Sarah and Noemi. Thanks so much for coming on the Joyful Microbe Podcast.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
I'm really excited to talk to you both about your collaboration on the Bacterial World website and your coloring book, Colored Bacteria from A to Z. But first, can you tell us a bit about your backgrounds and how you came together to create Bacterial World? How about Sarah? We'll start with you.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having us today. So my background is I have a microbiology PhD and I used to work as a researcher for a few years. And already during my postdoc, I realized that research career is just not my call. And I started playing with the idea of becoming a science communicator or a science writer, something about sharing microbiology knowledge with the world. I like talking about bacteria, and people told me that I'm very passionate about that and that people would understand when I explain about bacteria. So I thought maybe that's somehow my calling. So I started this little blog called Bacterial World, where I basically just started writing about different concepts of bacteria, about microbiology, what I was studying, what I was researching, and what interested me. But at the beginning, it was basically only me writing texts. And then at some point, I came across Noemi on Twitter, I think it was, and across her comics, and they were just amazing. And when I saw that Noemi also has a microbiology background / PhD, I was like, I want to work with her. That's going to be fun. So I reached out to her and I asked her whether she wanted to collaborate on the blog. And we did. We started. And that was about, 4 years now? 5 years, maybe?
It was at the end of 2019. Nice. I checked again.
Nice.
Wow, yeah. That's awesome. I love that. What about you, Noemi? I want to hear your side of the story.
So yeah, as Sarah said, I also have a microbiology PhD. I'm currently still in research. I'm doing a postdoc at the moment. And it's during my, so I always loved drawing when I was a kid. And it's during my PhD that I started to draw again, because I realized that bacteria was my passion, not only in the bench lab, but also drawing it. So I started drawing bacteria on my thesis topic, and I realized that by doing so, I could, it was much easier to explain some scientific concept to my family, to friends. And I realized that I really liked doing that, that I wanted to continue doing some drawings and to better explain science to the general public. And so I'm still doing this next to my postdoc. And when I was towards the end of my PhD, I thought I really need to find someone that has a blog and that wants to have some illustration next to it. And it's really at the same time that I received an email from Sarah, and I was like, it's just perfect timing.
Wow.
And I joined her, and yeah, and yes, we are working since end of 2019. So for quite a while now.
I love that. Yeah. And I've loved following the work that you two do together. At what point did you come up with the idea to create a coloring book together?
So I think we always had some project in mind of doing something together next to the blog. So I remember that we sometimes talk about like a children book or a storybook or a little comic or something like that. And then at some point it just came up, we came up with the idea of a coloring book, because I think it's a way to bring both the children and the adults, at least the adults that likes doing some coloring. And I think it was a nice way to start with a broader audience.
It came with a pandemic, because we saw that a lot of adults all of a sudden were starting to color because they needed to, you know, kill time and stuff. And then, I don't know, yeah, you started this series on social media as well, of like introducing one bacterium at a time, and you started creating some illustrations. And then, I don't know, one thing came to the other. I was like, let's just use all of this and make a nice coloring book about the bacteria from A to Z. Yeah.
Yeah, I do remember people during the pandemic doing a little bit more coloring and like adult coloring books becoming more popular at the time. Yeah. So yeah, it was a great idea. How did you decide on the format? Because it's A to Z and you've got different bacteria for each letter. So yeah, how did that come about?
I think it came a bit from my side in the way that, so I try often to do a challenge, drawing challenge called Inktober. And basically it's a challenge where you have a list of words, and like this, you have a way of focusing your imagination to a specific topic. And it adds some barrier to your imagination, but I actually like to have a little bit of, focusing in a specific way. And I thought if I need to have another idea of drawing something over the year and not only following a challenge, I need also a bit some limitation to my imagination. And I wanted something simple, not a big theme. And then I just thought, we have one bacterium starting with each letter of the alphabet. So that was the first question. And when I realized that we could find at least one for each letter, we started.
Yeah. I love that. And Inktober, if for people that don't know about it, it is such a fun thing to follow. And it's, I guess, do you mostly do it on Twitter?
I do it on Twitter and on Instagram as well.
Instagram too. Yeah. So anyone who is interested in checking it out, every October it happens. And it's so fun to follow different artists and just see what they come up with. So I love that. And I think it's smart to have a framework that just allowed you to explore the different letters, but didn't like keeps you confined to, so it doesn't feel too overwhelming probably.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really cool. So if there was one bacterium that could be the mascot of your coloring book, do you have like a favorite, and which one would it be and why?
I think we both have different answers to this.
Yeah, I want to hear both.
Yeah, for me, I'm just going to start. For me, I think it would be Vibrio cholera. Because first of all, the illustration for Vibrio cholera in the book is absolutely amazing, one of my favorites. It looks really cool. Second, I've written many articles on Vibrio cholera, and lots of articles already also on the blog. So there's a lot of content on this bacterium on the blog. And lastly, Noemi, I'm pretty sure you work with a bacterium, exactly, but also because Vibrio has a type 6 secretion system, which I used to work with during my PhD. So I think for me, Vibrio cholera would be the mascot of the book, of the whole blog, probably. Even That's though great. My mentor from my PhD and my postdoc may hate me for this answer because I work with a different, I myself worked with a different bacterium, but yeah, that's my answer.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe if you could go back in time, you would study Vibrio instead of Pseudomonas.
maybe.
What about you, Noemi?
It was really hard to, it's still hard to pick one. I'm really glad that Sarah chose Vibrio because, as she said, I worked with it. I'm lucky because I have both the bacterium I work with in the book, so Vibrio and Colobacter crescentis. So it creates some competition already. So I try not to pick one of these and go for a different one. And I really like the illustration I did with Thiovolum majus, which is a bacterium I had no idea it existed. And it's a huge bacterium. So it's like 10 times bigger than a general or normal bacterium. And it has a lot of extended hairs, so that we call flagella, and that helps the bacterium swim. And it's a really huge, fast swimmer. And we discovered a really nice video of how they swim, and it was really beautiful. And yeah, I really like doing this illustration and learning about this bacterium. So I would pick that one for the mascot of the book.
That's really cool.
Fair enough.
And in a way as well, as it's a giant bacterium, I can also kind of picture it as a huge fluffy plushie or something like that. So I think it goes well with the mascot idea.
Okay. Yeah, I love that. That's really cool. So was there anything that surprised you while researching and creating the coloring book?
Well, bacteria always surprise me. I think I've learned or read so much about them by now, but there's always something new coming up. And I'm like, oof, I didn't know about this. I mean, yeah, even as Noemi said, just the Thiovolum bacterium, it's so huge. And yeah, it's the fastest swimmer that we know of. From the bacterial world, it's just amazing. Yeah, but other than that, I mean, there's bacteria like the Euryotella bacterium that doesn't even have an outer membrane, so it basically doesn't have a fixed shape, and yet it can survive, and it actually attaches to spermicides, which is pretty cool. And wow. I think that was my biggest surprise when we decided for this bacterium. Yeah.
And on my side, I would go with another one because it was fun. It brought some remember or souvenir from my bachelor. The Gentinobacterium lividum is a bacteria that protects some amphibians and frogs against fungi. And during my first year of bachelor in biology, I had a class with a professor that was really passionate about his topic, and he's working with fungi, so we had so a whole lot of fungi and reproduction and everything, and he talked about this nasty fungi that was infecting amphibians. And when we came up with that, I was like, oh, that's the bacterium that protects from the fungi yeah. that I learned during my studies. And yeah, that was a nice surprise to come back to this knowledge that I had from a long time ago.
Is that the one that's on the cover?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, I do. I like that one a lot. That's super cool. So when it comes to science communication, it's like we're always concerned about accuracy. But also there has to be some, you know, like you as an artist – it can be probably difficult. And I know as a writer too, it can be difficult. And to balance accuracy with like making it simple enough and relatable. So how did you balance scientific accuracy with artistic representation in the coloring book?
So I think with everything that we could be as close as possible to the real scientific knowledge we did. Like, for example, we know that bacteria can have a lot of different shapes. They can be round, they can be curved. And of course, each bacterium that is represented has the shape that it should have in reality. We did the same with these extended hairs that they can have, because they can have several of them or only one or none. So this also information I always looked into it to try to be as close as possible to what is known in the literature. And then next to that, of course, as we like to break some concept into something that is more simple and trying to use some, explaining it in a fun way with some day-to-day life, other things that we do, then we need to invent a few things and to go a bit away from the reality of it. And of course, I always draw bacteria with some eyes and other anthropomorphic features. And of course, this is not something that they have in reality. So, yeah.
But that's part of making the whole bacteria world more engaging and relatable exactly. to everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's like we have to allow for those different, you know, liberties in any sort of science communication effort, especially with artistic representation. I love the eyes and like making it more human-like in some ways. And I think that just makes it more relatable, you know? I think it's interesting to hear about.
And also, if you want to break a concept into something very simple and that the answer is already there in the visual illustration, you need to go with something that speaks to everyone. So, yeah, you need to go a bit away from the reality.
Yeah.
I like, though, that it seemed like you both had structure to it, though. You said, we want to make sure that the shapes are accurate. We want to make sure that the structures are accurate. And then we're going to be a little bit, you know, like take some liberties with other things that maybe we don't know for sure. And then, of course, you know, making them a little more human, like, but it's that way we kind of know what to expect from the drawings and looking at it through that lens. Did you find that either of you face any challenges with making the coloring book? And just, I mean, obviously, like there are certain things that maybe as you mentioned, we don't know about the bacteria. And so you have to kind of use your imagination to depict them. So what kinds of challenges, like both of you, I'd love to hear, you know, from the writing side and from the drawing side, what kind of challenges you encountered with creating this coloring book?
Yeah, I think the biggest overall challenge was to decide for the right bacteria, whatever that means in that context. So at the beginning, the way we started is we basically just brainstormed all different, like many, many different bacteria that we found for each letter. And then obviously for some letters, it was really easy just to decide for one bacterium. And for other letters, for example, for S, there's at least 5 or 6 or 7 bacteria that are important enough to be in the book, obviously. But, you know, there should only be one of them. So for me or for us, I think it was a bit challenging to find the right balance between A, introducing basic microbiology concepts, talking about the beneficial aspects of bacteria, also deciding for bacteria from all different areas. So we have bacteria that are on the body, that are growing on animals, that are growing in the water, on soil, and in all different kinds of environments. And also, obviously, we also wanted or needed to talk about the more challenging and negative aspects of bacteria, because obviously we want people to be more aware of what is going on. Obviously, we wanted to talk about food safety, contaminated food, health aspects, obviously, but at the same time, not too much, because we didn't want to frighten them. So it was good. Or like, I think what we did, we started like the first bacteria that we introduced, let's say A to, I don't know, L, are rather beneficial bacteria. And we talk a lot about the basic microbiology concept. And then we slowly become a bit more detailed. We become, the content becomes a bit more serious. And I think we found, a really nice balance between, all of that. So that in the end, someone should have a really good general understanding of the bacterial world.
Okay, so did you say that you started kind of in order? So like it went from simple and positive to like a little bit more technical as you go through the book? That's exactly. Really cool. I love that.
That was the idea, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's very smart. I think that's a good, it's like you're kind of educating and layering on the concepts. Yeah. It's really cool.
Exactly.
What about you, Noemi?
I think, what I also thought is similar to what Sarah just mentioned, was also at some point we had for some bacterium different ideas of what we could show for these specific bacteria. And we realized we need at the beginning of the book to bring some general concept that they can follow what comes afterwards. I think that would be the main thing. And regarding the drawing, it probably is similar to the challenges.
Hey there, it's me, Justine, founder of Joyful Microbe. Guess what? I'm not just passionate about spreading microbiology joy through my podcast. I'm also interested in helping others create engaging scientific content. As a freelance science writer and editor with a PhD in microbiology, I bring a blend of scientific expertise and effective communication. No need to hire 2 people to get the job done. I've got it all covered. If you love what I've created on Joyful Microbe, imagine what we can do together for your project. Whether you're a life science company or an academic and need compelling content, I'm here to help. If you've got something in mind and want to chat about it, send me an email at justine@justinedees.com or check out my website, justinedees.com. Let's turn your ideas into awesome science content. Can't wait to collaborate with you. Now, back to the show.
More about what we keep, and we want to have the structure of what is really scientific and correct, and where we can take some liberties. I said that I think that would be the most important challenge. But as soon as you set up your mind of what you want to keep that is really correct and where you can take some liberties. For example, at some point, I wanted to have something that is more up to scale, but then you realize that you cannot do that if you want to have people that can color the bacteria and see them. So you need to, to make some choice and to have some liberties with several things.
Yeah, I could see that would be difficult to make those choices and what to, make sure is accurate and then what to take liberties with. Yeah.
Yeah. And if I can just add on that, I mean, obviously the same goes for the texts. Obviously, when I started researching like different bacteria that I knew nothing about, I had all these amazing new facts. But in the end, I mean, each bacterium is introduced with like, what, 6 sentences or 7? And obviously, because we're writing for kids, there's only so much content you can convey in one little text, one little paragraph. So that was, I guess, for me, the other challenge of like deciding, okay, what do we really want to convey right now? What is important for someone to understand the, you know, overall concept we talked about, and then just unfortunately kill the rest, which always hurts. But yeah, you got to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's like you have to, if you're keeping it simple with this framework, then you have to get rid of some content. And also you can't choose every single bacterium, like you were saying earlier, which I know is hard. I mean, especially for L with all of the lactobacilli, but yeah, that I could see that being really a difficult choice.
Yeah. I mean, just deciding for one of the Pseudomonas bacteria was, I think, the hardest choice we made. Like, all of them are somehow interesting and important, but which one to choose now?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I like that you also, you know, you made a point to balance the beneficial with the, you know, more kind of negative aspects of the microbial world. And I think that's really important. It's like we want to make sure, because the bacteria have just like for so long been viewed in a negative light, we want to make sure to share about the beneficial ones, but then you can't only share about the beneficial ones. We have to balance that with, okay, at the same time, we've got all these other ones that are serious problems in the world. And
please
so,
go and wash your hands.
Yeah. Yep. So I think that's good. And I like that you chose diverse environments as well. That's very cool. And just gives a well-rounded view of the microbial world, because it is so vast, you know, there's so much to it. So, which I know was difficult in making the coloring book, but at the same time, I like that you've got the tour of the microbial world for people and they get to experience it in a hands-on way by actually coloring it. So it's very, very cool. So I know that my audience has teachers and parents and homeschooling parents, and they may be interested in how they could use the coloring book. So do you have any ideas for how different people might use the coloring book in different creative ways with their kids or their students?
Of course. I mean, yeah. So the idea was when we started creating the book, to reach both parents with kids at home, but also teachers. So that already got us to offer two different formats of the book. So either people can get the bound book, the printed book on Amazon, and basically just start coloring right away. But also the other idea was for teachers to get the PDF version and then just print the sheets, or just print certain sheets, whatever they deem reasonable for their school, for their pupils at school. Obviously, they wouldn't want to get the print version from Amazon for all their kids. Yes, and then, I mean, obviously, the book in itself is very educational, so people can basically just spend hours reading and coloring and talking about this. I mean, I'm getting, like, I feel every weekend by now, I'm getting a message from a friend or from a cousin asking me a question or telling me, hey, Sarah, so we just read about bacterium X and look what they created. And they sent me a picture of the kid, you know, coloring, and it's a beautiful picture. And then, yeah, but now we have a dozen other questions. So can you help us with this? So obviously this activity triggers so much curiosity in the kids, and they start thinking about this whole thing. And I think for me, the most important thing and what gives me so much pleasure and joy is that kids become curious at a very young age, and they just start asking questions. I mean, they don't need to be microbiology researchers at the end, but I just want everyone to, you know, be smart and learn whatever you want and become more curious. So I think, so that is obviously the second goal of the book. And the last one is the quiz section at the end. So for each, we have like five different quizzes at the end, just about some broader concepts about the bacterial world. And obviously this is just to check, call it check, but whether the kids actually learned something, again, whether they understood the content correctly, or whether they have more questions, whether there's anything else they want to talk about, discuss with the teacher, with the parents. That's the educational background of the book as well.
Yeah, I love that. I like that you included a quiz section as well. I'm sure that that will help kind of generate discussion around the different bacteria that they color. And I think that I could see it being very helpful for teachers, but then also for parents that are homeschooling and they can use this as an artistic component as well as a scientific component and combine them. And I know that parents are doing that. So I think this will be a great companion for that. So what are some common misconceptions about bacteria that you hoped to address through your coloring book?
I think we have two main ones. Maybe I start with one and maybe Sarah can continue with the other. So one thing that Justine, you already mentioned, we try to balance to have a lot of beneficial bacteria as well. We also put some more negative ones, but I think it's important for the general public to learn that not all bacteria are negative. Because I think even myself, before I had some microbiology classes, the only times that I heard about bacteria were in diseases and only things that are negative. Now it's quite some years that I'm passionate about microbiology, so it's obvious that a lot of them are beneficial, but I know that it's not the case for most people. And I think it's really important that they also learn about all the things they can do for our own body, for the food, and also some of them are beneficial to plants, and also some names that are sometimes associated with negative feedback or intention. Like, for example, most people have heard at some point Escherichia coli, but they always heard it in the disease way. And when you tell them that they have a lot of them in their gut and that it's really important that they have a lot of these bacteria in their gut, they are sometimes scared. And we want to remove the fear about the good bacteria. So I think that's one of the topic misconceptions that we want to tackle.
Yeah, I think that's really good, because with other I've looked at different children's books on the microbial world, on bacteria and things, and I have noticed that not all of them are balanced in the way that they view microbes, and some of them are more like, you know, focused on the wash your hands, and which is like good for kids to learn, of course. But it can be a little bit more like fear based. And I definitely, I think it's good to have a balance in teaching kids about the things that they need to do to respect the fact that there are harmful microbes, but then also know that there's no need to be afraid.
Yeah, and I think the second aim of the book was also to just talk about that bacteria basically everywhere. I mean, I'm still sometimes surprised, as I said, like, where would you find bacteria? But basically they're everywhere. And yeah, so that's also something we want to tackle with the book. And that's why what I said, we talk about bacteria that live in different areas and different environments, on animals and plants, on plants, in the soil, in the air, on us, in us, everywhere basically. So yeah, even though many people are still surprised, they're like, oh, there's bacteria there. Yes, they are.
It's pretty much always yes.
Yeah. Even though, again, I was asked the other day by my friend whether there's bacteria at the inner of the core of the earth. And I was like, phew, the core, I actually looked it up, the core has about 5,000 degrees. I'm pretty unsure that something can survive there, but just because we haven't found it yet doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So
but might yeah, not so be bacteria. Maybe it'll be something else.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty a virus weird. Or something.
Yeah, something else really weird, but it may be possible. You never know.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good question. I would have had to look that up too. Is there anything else that either of you would like, or both of you would like to mention that you haven't had the chance yet?
Well, other than, we're really trying to find a good balance between, general bacterial concepts or microbiology concepts, but also we talk a lot about the so-called bacterial superpowers that we like to call them on the blog as well. So bacterial superpowers are, for example, bacteria that can survive in the cooling systems of nuclear reactors where there's lots of radiation. And some bacteria like Deinococcus, for example, they have these repairing systems that make them basically immune against against radiation. And that is just, to me, it's a bacterial superpower. It's amazing.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. Is there anything else you would like to mention, Noemi?
I don't think so. I'm trying to think about, but I think we covered quite some.
Well, I'm curious, do you two have a project coming up in the future? Like, what can we expect next from the two of you? Or can you share any hints?
There's plans for another coloring book. Yes, indeed. Yes.
Awesome. Good.
It will be different, but also very similar. But I think differently enough so that the kids that are drawing or that are coloring the book now in 2 years will be old enough to step up and, become the content will be a bit more specific. So we hope that we're going to reach the same kind of audience.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, I'm going to ask a few questions that I ask all of my guests, and you both can chime in however you want to. Do you have anything about your work or microbiology that you think most people misunderstand or you'd like to clear up? I know we kind of talked about the positive and negative aspects of the microbial world and things like that, but is there anything else that you wish people knew?
I think... If I can just start, for me, it's the misconception that many people think if we get sick by a bacterium, bacteria do that on purpose. That's just something that's always surprising me, that people really think, hey, this bacterium is making me sick on purpose. But I'm like, no, this bacterium just wants to survive, just as you're surviving and you're, changing your environment for yourself so you can live a better life. So that's basically what bacteria do as well in our body. They're just using our resources with the goal to survive and reproduce. And that, unfortunately, this strategy, this mechanism makes us sick, but it's not that the bacterium does it on purpose and say, hey, today I'm going to enter this body and I'm going to make it sick. That's not how it is.
They don't have intentions. Not in the way that we do, at least.
Maybe it's a bit linked to what we talked about earlier, but I think with the COVID, it helped maybe a little bit to some people that they understand that we can benefit from the microbes to create some food, because a lot of people started to do their sourdough and doing some homemade bread. So I think here it helps a little bit to understand that they bring us a lot of things that we can use. But I really like that microbes are not only beneficial for our own body, but for the things that we eat or drink. And many people often forget that we would not be able to produce so many foods without the microbes.
Yeah, I love that. That's a really good point. And it's funny because I hadn't really considered it before until you just said it the way that you did, but that the pandemic, although it came from a virus, people were interacting with microbes in their homes probably more than ever through like making sourdough and stuff and doing different fermentations. So I think that's pretty cool. And hopefully it helped, you know, people learn that, okay, there's the good and the bad, yes. The positive and the negative. So what have you learned overall from your work that has changed how you think about microbes in your daily life?
So for myself, I think it's every time. So by doing research and a PhD or a postdoc, you gained a lot of knowledge on really a specific topic. And what I really like with doing some illustration and working with Sarah is really to broaden my knowledge to a lot of new microbes and a lot of new concepts. And this is also why I really like doing this, because I always get some new knowledge, and I know it. You know, it's a never endless pool of information, because we continue to learn more and more about other microbes. But this is really something that I love, to always gain more knowledge that are perhaps a bit more general sometimes, but is then very different to what I do at work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For me, yeah, I think it's based on what Noemi just said, but also what I said before, that whatever bacteria do, however they change their environment, whatever they produce, it's always about growth and reproduction. They always just want to survive, just like us, basically. Whatever any of their superpowers, let's call them, everything is just for their own benefit and so that the species survives and evolves. That's what I always find super fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that it's incredible that there are so many different types out there and they do so many different things, but then it's like, why are they doing them? Well, to survive.
Exactly. And in the end, it's not that different from what we're doing. I mean, everything that we're doing is just to survive and reproduce and evolve and progress, and the species, so that the species, you know, progresses.
So we've got the book. I'm going to ask you about resources. Colored Bacteria from A to Z. Definitely want people to go check that out. Do you have any other resources that you would recommend so listeners can go deeper on this topic?
So many, or I'd say 95% of what's in the book is even more described and explained on the blog. Which is the Bacteria World blog. And other than that, I mean, the resources that we use or that we describe on the blog are basically the Joyful Microbe blog as well. this is where the circle closes. but yeah, from any article, basically, there's links to more resources, to more scientific articles. So whoever wants to learn more about a specific bacterium should check out the blog and then go from there.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want to see more pictures and more illustration, they should follow Noemi on Twitter and Instagram. And yes.
Yeah. Well, and something else I want to mention is that you've got a shop on Redbubble. And so if anybody wants to, I just loved this idea when Sarah shared it to me or with me, that you can just get a coffee mug with the letter for your name, because it's A to Z. Yep. Every letter is available, and you can get a mug with that letter with that bacteria on it. So I love that. So I'll link to your Redbubble shop as well. But so we've got the website, the book, the Redbubble shop, and then you mentioned you both are on Twitter, but where else can everyone find, follow, and connect with you?
We also both have Instagram.
And if people are not sure yet about whether they want to get the full book on Amazon, they can also go to the blog and just print the first 5 or 6 letters. So we have a little sneak preview on the blog where people can basically just download the first couple of pages with yeah, as I said, the first few letters and start coloring. And if they like it, they can then decide later whether to get the book or not.
Cool. Yeah, that'll be a great little way to check out the book and see what it's like and get to enjoy it. So I really appreciate you both coming on and sharing about the book and all about microbiology in general too. So yeah, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot to you.
Yes. So much fun. Always talking about science communication.
Definitely. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Joyful Microbe Podcast. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. If you'd like to help others who love microbes to find the podcast, then please leave a rating and a review for the show. And tell a friend. To learn more about the Joyful Microbe, head on over to joyfulmicrobe.com, where you will find the show notes and all the links and resources mentioned. If you love Joyful Microbe and would like to support the show, you can do so by leaving a virtual tip through Ko-fi. The link is in the show notes and on joyfulmicrobe.com at the bottom of the page. Thanks again, microbe friends. Talk to you next time.